The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning. Oh, this is Ryan Tubridy. It is Thursday morning, the 9th of January, 2020. We're here till 10 a.m. The text number is 51551. You can email Ryan at rte.ie if you wish. I meant to say thanks, by the way, to everyone who sent in cards and letters over the Christmas holidays. And we read every single one of them and appreciated every single one of them. So thank you. Just to let you know that we don't take it lightly. They're greatly appreciated. So thanks very, very much. And we're going to try to get back to as many of you as possible when time allows. But I don't know if you get a week where you seem to be chasing your tail all the time and trying to catch up. Nothing wrong, nothing bad, but just on the go. It's kind of exciting in some ways, but it's pretty hectic. So, but I'll get to you at some point. Eventually, the dust will settle and I'll try to write to you as many of as humanly possible. But in the meantime, on we go. With lots of talk. Gosh, I was watching Operation Transformation last night. I don't know if you saw it, but they're in for one hell of a season. If you didn't watch it, watch it back. It's an intriguing I think it gives you a great insight. Obviously, I'm not watching it with any view to weight loss in a personal capacity, as you can probably appreciate, but I am fascinated by people's lives, nature of the job, I suppose, but also gives you great insight into, I think, Ireland today and what ails people, where are they at? What's on their kitchen table in terms of troubles and strife and love and happiness? You know, all these things come into it. You get a great insight into the world courtesy of the programme. And they've picked intriguing contestants this year. So much so that we're going to bring them on to the Late Late Show tomorrow night to chat to them and see what they have planned. I mean, there's one young woman who drinks 12 cans of Coca-Cola a day. She buys a slab of Coke, which will get her through 2 or 3 days. And, you know, it was fascinating to hear them talk afterwards with her and saying, you probably have more of a habit of just reaching out for it rather than a sugar habit. It's always really interesting a take on it, that you've just got this almost tick that you just want to go in and drink the Coke and rather than, you know, it's almost like a comfort thing, and that she can work her way out of it with the right backup. And, you know, you have the other fellow who's the musical director in schools and that kind of thing, and he's married, 4 kids, on the go the whole time, hardly at home because it's just his lifestyle is just intense, go, and he's put on the weight as a result, and other stories in between. And then there's great drama, you know, when they do that circle of trust thing with Eddie Murphy, and they're talking about their individual stories, and there's a lot of pain in people, and it's only when they talk about it that they realise that it's at the surface, and then you talk and it becomes emotional and on they go. Anyway, if you didn't watch it, it's on the player, watch it back, it's well worth looking at. And just on the subject of that, I also saw a preview of First Dates, which is happening, is that tonight? Tonight's First Dates? The first one of the season. Eminently entertaining. Again, insight into people and their lives and their backstories. And that's well worth a look at tonight on TV, on RTE, which is good. I mean, look, the Harry and Meghan, let's go there for a minute, because it's everywhere. People are intrigued. You know, I know her so well. I met her for 30 seconds in Washington once upon a time, so I feel very invested in this story. But actually, in the brief encounter, which I'll be living off for the rest of my life, obviously, and dining out on, I did find her very charming, very beautiful, and somebody that you would imagine will do well in life. And as she was doing, actually, she was doing well in life anyway. As an actress in Suits, so she didn't need the royal family. And now she doesn't want the royal family, it would appear. I would imagine if I was a British person, a citizen of the realm, and I was watching it, I'd be thinking, she's taken our prince. You know, I'd say this is going to be... Oh, she was getting that anyway, God help her. That he's so in love with her, he's so beholden to her, that he's now let her quit the firm? No. And then that makes her out to be this evil queen woman, whereas that's been the narrative for years. Always she takes him away. Well, how about he turns around and says, "Actually, you know what? I'm fed up with it all. Been told what to do, where to go, who to see, what to eat, what time to be there. And she said, well, it doesn't always have to be this way. Really? Yeah, yeah, we can have a baby. We can go and live across in LA. No, we can't. We can. No, seriously, we can. Are you your own man? What? Oh, no, now it sounds like Lady Macbeth. Art thou a man? No, I don't mean to put her... I'm trying not to cast her in this light because that's not fair. That's maybe they're the most modern couple of all time. Now, there's a bit of a kind of cheekiness to it all in a sense, isn't there? That they said, we want to earn our own money and yet they're still taking the shilling. I mean, let's face it, it's a privileged way to leave the firm. They still are going to get money from dad, and that's not, you know, a small amount of money. And they're still going to get security, which is right, in fairness, because they could be targets, so I get that. They're still going to get travel arrangements will be paid for if it's official function, so that's okay. So it's kind of like a la carte royalty. They'll have a bit of that, and a bit of that, and a bit of that, but I think ultimately they want their independence. They're a very attractive couple. They seem like very, very pleasant people. I've never met him. Met her, as I say, for about 3.5 seconds, so I'm not claiming any knowledge in any seriousness at all. But looking at, say, example, the Daily Telegraph today, because that's the most royal paper of them all, really. The couple's break for freedom was long planned, but still lands a devastating blow. Brave new world for Sussexes as pair step out of royal spotlight. No scandals, no plots, no faults. They're just not suited to public life. She's an actress, he's a prince. You would have thought they were perfectly suited to public life. Anyway, we intend, says Owen, to step back as senior members of the royal family. They're running out of senior members of the royal family now. The Duke of Edinburgh is very, very ill, I think. The Epstein fella is toxic. And that kind of leaves Kate, whose birthday, she's 38 today, and William, to kind of take the brunt of it. I don't know if William and Harry are talking to each other, and if they are, this seems to be a bit fraught. So it's a new world order for the royals. And then a massive part of me couldn't give a flying flute. You know that kind of way? Like it's a family. You know, they were born into it. It's weird in some ways, but at the same time, it's fascinating. And it has been. I mean, should I look at what the books I'm reading by Henry VIII? I mean, that's going back a bit, 16th century. It's always, we just seem to be intrigued. And they're our nearest neighbours. And the Queen came to town. She made a great impact when she arrived over here not too long ago. I had the pleasure of meeting her briefly, and she was perfectly charming. I see the New York Post cover is brilliant, which shows the two of them superimposed, like cartoons essentially, sitting on a dingy old couch in a flat somewhere with the headline, Megxit. That's funny. Megxit. And sure enough, Meghan and Harry leave royals for commoner life. It's not going to be that common. Let's face it now. They're not going to turn from the royal family to the royal family. I mean, we're not dealing with that level of transition, to be honest with you. But it is fascinating. It's all over the papers. And I think people are just curious. No more said than myself. Poor old Justin Bieber, meanwhile, has revealed he was recently diagnosed with Lyme disease, an infection caused by bacteria commonly carried by ticks. I don't remember the last time I heard about it. I remember hearing about ticks on a little island off the west coast of Ireland in Turbot. And my friend, my Dutch friend was telling me, Stefan was telling me about the ticks, as they say, the ticks, were liable to give you Lyme disease. You have to be very careful of them in the long grass and on certain animals. And Justin Bieber, is he only 25? God, feels like he's been around for 2 decades. Justin Bieber shared the news on an Instagram post, as did the royal family. By the way, the Harry and Meghan thing the story is as big because the Queen didn't see it coming or wasn't told. That's kind of intriguing. So they Instagrammed their way through the world. He said, a lot of people kept saying Justin Bieber looks like shit on meth, etc. They failed to realise I've been recently diagnosed with Lyme disease. Not only that, but I had a serious case of chronic mono, which affected my skin, brain, function, energy and overall health. So there you are. Justin Bieber has this. And on further examination, other people you may have heard of who had or have Lyme disease, Avril Lavigne, Shania Twain, if you don't mind, Alec Baldwin, and Ben Stiller, Richard Gere, and George W. Bush all had it at some stage. And I think there's obviously Lyme disease, I presume, is a spectrum in the sense that it can be more serious, very serious, and you can just get away with it in a manner of speaking. Jim Gallagher, writing in the Daily Irish Daily Mail this morning, tells us that a dairy and poultry farmer is on a mission to battle loneliness in rural Ireland. Her name is Bernie Sherry, and she has gathered people in her area in County Monaghan to visit elderly people living on their own, which she said traditionally was called going on your cayley or making your cayley. She's mother too, from Scotstown. She said that she used to do it with her own parents before the custom died out. And now Bernie, who is health and welfare officer with her local GAA club, has rallied locals to bring back the age-old custom and form a committee to link volunteers with isolated people. I love this woman already. There are a lot of people who would love someone calling in for a cup of tea and a face-to-face chat, she says. We text them and we are Facebooking and we are on Instagram, she says, but that is not personal contact. We are losing that personal touch. A lot of people do not like to say they're lonely, but it's a long time from when it gets dark until bedtime. So making your cayley, as she calls it, just means going to visit someone and going to someone's house. That's lovely. That's going to feature on Ear to the Ground tonight at 7 o'clock. I'll look at that because I love the idea of kindness and community coming together and just making a little difference. I think that's gorgeous. Here's a bridge. Sarah Slater telling us in the Irish Daily Star this morning, the country's longest bridge is to open by the end of the month. The 887-metre Rose Fitzgerald Kennedy Bridge, which crosses the River Barrow between Wexford and Kilkenny, forms part of upgrades to the €230 million New Ross Bypass. Now, I know you might bypass New Ross, but I will say, as somebody who's visited there because of the Kennedy connection down through the years, it is a beautiful town. And it's a great place to visit. And you've got the Dumbrodies down there, isn't it? Yeah, that's the one, which is a fascinating place to visit. And there's a great centre and a Kennedy statue, and there's the Dungannstown there, which is the Kennedy homestead. Beautiful place to visit. If you haven't put it in your list, on your list, you should. And it's pretty near to everywhere in this part of the world. Anyway, back to the Fianna Fáil chairman of Wexford County Council, Michael Sheehan, has confirmed the bridge will be opening within the next 3 weeks, which is exciting. And it is the longest bridge in Ireland, and which is great. And they're hoping to have some Kennedys to come along and help to launch it, which would be a lovely thing to do. So hopefully that goes well. Texts. I don't have much interest, says a text, in the royal family. I can take or leave Meghan or Harry. But what I do admire is what William and Kate tend to do and get on with things. The cheap flights to Scotland is a good example. Shunning the private plane. Meghan and Harry tend to bang on about things rather than do them. Zigzagging back and forth between the US and UK on private planes isn't very environmentally friendly. Another from Steve is, I find the actions of Meghan and Harry extremely brave. I just hope she doesn't get treated like Diana. Meghan, says another, is constantly being compared to Kate, and that's very hard because she will never be as classy. Would you like some milk in that saucer of a text, if I may say so? I think Meghan has class, to be honest. There we are, keeping Frogmore Cottage. It's a place I'd never heard of until today, but apparently, having read a bit about it earlier on, it's going to be their kind of official residence in the UK when they land and stay there. It's on the Windsor estate, and their security will continue to be funded by the British taxpayer. And their official travel undertaken on behalf of the Queen will be paid for by the Sovereign Grant. It was last night confirmed that they would continue to receive money from the Prince of Wales via the Duchy of Cornwall, which has largely funded their activities. Wish Harry and Meghan luck, says a text. However, I think it speaks volumes of the integrity and professionalism of William and Kate, brackets, a real lady. Lads, what's all the hating on Meghan Markle? I like her. I'd defend her. The English probably see Meghan as the Yoko Ono of her generation. Yes. Breaking up the band. I love how it shows how all families can start to crack up when the in-laws are introduced to the mix. See, maybe that's why we like looking at them, because they're this mad mirror from all of our lives. Very good. I'm delighted for Harry and Meghan, but particularly Harry. He never fully wanted what the firm expected him to be, so may they both have a happy private life together. It's not Meghan's fault alone. Oh, I agree entirely. I agree entirely. Meanwhile, on to the Oscars, because there's so many awards. With the BAFTAs we talked about, the Golden Globes. I thought Ricky Gervais' opening monologue, I wasn't here on Monday to talk about it, but Oliver, thank you, by the way, to Oliver for sitting in here. I thought the opening monologue was a hoot. I think that sort of humour just is so bold and so dark and so funny. So yes to that. But meanwhile, the Oscars will not have an official host. Why is that, I wonder? They said, we expect that we're going to have a very commercial set of nominations, and a lot of incredible elements have come together and make us think we're going to have a very entertaining show. That means nothing. Last year marked the first time in 30 years that the Academy Awards went without a host. Kevin Hart originally agreed to MC the show, but stepped down 48 hours after the announcement, following a series of homophobic tweets which resurfaced online. Before that, the last time the Oscars were without a host was 1989, when Rob Lowe performed a ridiculous spoof of Proud Mary with Snow White, singing "Rolling, rolling, keep the cameras rolling." No wonder they cancelled hosting after that. So that was the end of that. So that's a little flavour of some of the things we are seeing in the papers this morning. The text number is 51551. You can email ryan@rte.ie. The RTE Choice Music Awards nominees were announced yesterday. Among them were Jafaris, who we like. As Jafaris say, great performance of that on The Late Late when he was on, and Time. Also, Soak is nominated for the Choice Award, and heaps of others, and fresh new talent too. So we'll see, investigate getting them on the show as well at some point in the next few weeks and months. It is curious to see the interest in the Royals all the same by text, because I think there was a time, and I'm going to put it, there was a time when we weren't allowed to be interested in them. Because it was completely uncool politically and historically. And I think it was Kate and William, it was kind of post-ceasefire stuff, and when they got married, suddenly it became all right to kind of follow the soap opera of it. And then after that, it was game on. And then when the Queen came over and everything, and then it was all absolutely cool. But even the Diana and Charles wedding was watched sort of behind closed doors in a way that was, everyone was dying to have a look but weren't allowed to say that they were looking at it. You know what I'm saying. 51551, can you recommend a good read off the top of your head? I'm heading to the bookshop later. Thanks, Kay in Kilkenny. Kay, I love the way you text me, like, just give us a, and you're gone. But I'm going to say When All Is Said by Anne Griffin. I don't know why I think Kay from Kilkenny, whoever you are, I think this book suits your name. Whatever that means, this is how I feel. I really enjoyed it. A man looking back over his life, over seven toasts, very cleverly done. I thoroughly enjoyed it. We had Anne Griffin on the show here. Good Irish book. Try and buy local, shop local, buy Irish. Get that one. And come back to me. Job done. Also, won't take you 1,000 years to read. It's a nice, neat recommendation. I always try to recommend books that won't take you 1,000 years to read, so that you kind of stick with it and get into it. He says in a slightly patronising way, but actually it's meant in the right way. Here's history repeating itself, says the text. Remember the last American who married a royal? You see a similarity between the Wallace Simpson and Meghan Markle. Yeah, I think there's a lot of commentary about that today. You're quite right. Brendan says, problem isn't what Harry and Meghan did, it's the way they did it. He showed an absolute disloyalty to his brother, to his father, to his grandmother. He could have let them know that this statement was coming out. Also, he was born into this. It's his calling. I'm not sure he can ditch his brother and head off into the sunset. It's very selfish, says you. Then another person says, if I was treated by the British press like Meghan is, I'd also do a runner. Good luck to them both and to their baby. Yeah, that's for sure. They'll find them, though. They'll hunt them down. Fintan says, Prince Edward, brother of Charles, earns his own living. So Harry's not the first person in recent years to make the earn your own living decision. Is Edward the Epstein guy? No, that's Andrew. Sorry, Edward. God, I hadn't thought about Edward. Jeez, he's got lost completely. Andrew's the twit in the middle of all that. Okay, gotcha. Why are we so concerned about the workings of a dysfunctional family in the UK? I admire Harry and his wife for their desire to break free from them and, of course, the British tabloid media. Their child deserves a better future. But it's a good question. You ask a good question. Why are we so concerned about the workings of a dysfunctional family? It's a bit probably like watching Fair City, where you just think, well, at least our lives aren't as bad as theirs. I mean, there's that sense of, oh, thank God. I thought it was bad. I thought I had a bad day, but look what's happening in Carrickstown. That's probably the point. I don't have much interest in the royal family, says the text, but I noticed that when Princess Anne decided not to give her children royal titles or duties, nobody blamed her husband, for the decision. But it's all Meghan's fault now. The public and the press have never liked her and love to blame her. I think that's exactly it. And that's what I was trying to chat through here this morning, looking at all the papers. It makes for intriguing reading. Can't lie to you. That's the truth. 27 minutes past nine. More for you after this.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
All right. How about some of these texts then? Tell Kay in Kilkenny to buy A Kin by Emma Donoghue, says Katrina, also in Kilkenny. I haven't read that, by the way, but I very much would like to. I think one of my gang at home were saying, my brother was saying that he'd read it and loved it, so I'll get on to that. Great for her. This is on Kel. We both work and still struggle, so I find her patronising and very annoying. A mixed reaction to Kel there. I love this lady's approach. There's another common sense. Life is what you make it. This lady has her priorities straight. Good for her. Her quality of life hasn't lessened by any means by the sound of it. And Mary Quinn says, well done to her. I grew up like that. And I always say we had nothing but we were happy. So just don't let the kids suffer and keep it up. So there you are. Two minds, essentially. Seduced by glamour, says John in the UK, and marrying outside the traditional English rose territory was always a risky enterprise for Harry. He's a sound, well-rounded guy, but wiser counsel should have prevailed. Hindsight and all that. The Irish take delight in the royals' troubles, I notice. Well, I think it's just the soap of it. And sure, the only reason we know about them is because largely the British tabloids keep us posted. So I don't think it's an Irish thing necessarily. Seduced, yes, indeed. Now, one of the other ones, Harry and Meghan are jumping before they're pushed. Really? Sarah in Dublin suggests Charles had stated his intention to retire, all but the direct line to the throne, as other European royal families have done. Note the Christmas photos of the Queen this year with only William and George. They are controlling the press rather than making a real decision for themselves. Big, big interest in all things royal this morning. Let me live that fantasy. And that's exactly what they endeavoured to do, I think. And that is Lord and Royals at 3:10. It's so funny. Meghan can't get on with the royal family and she can't get on with her own family, says the text. So what does this tell you about her? Everyone else can't be wrong, Meghan. It's like, this isn't a WhatsApp group, lads. You know? But I like your... I like your definitive nature of your opinion, I suppose. But I'd be inclined to defend the woman because I think they're really in love. I think that's part of it, and love conquers all, apparently. So that's what it is. Meanwhile, on Kel, what a wonderful role model. Well done to her. And Claire says, love listening to her. I'm on a career break and struggle with the idea, was this the right decision, whether to stay at home with my kids or keep up with everyone and stay in work? And Nolene says, this is a total insult to so many people who struggle daily. And Paul says, I think she's great living alone. I shop for fresh essentials once a week and I'm eating from my two chest freezers and two fridge freezers. And yeah, so both Meghan and Kel dividing you all this morning for different, very different reasons.